You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Joe Rosenberg, the author most recently of a brand new book. In fact, it's not even really out just yet.
March 6th.
We're flogging it. It will be out momentarily. You can certainly pre-order it at Amazon. It is entitled The Kremlin Conspiracy. We've just been talking with Joel about the plot and what he's trying to teach us about the dangers of a future Russian czar. I wanted to pivot with you, Joel, for a couple of different reasons, to some of the behavior of the Kremlin in the past, specifically the repression of Jews that it engaged in. We're here in part as members of a wonderful new coalition to save the persecuted Christians, and it's a campaign that's very deliberately modeled after a man you previously worked for, and some of his admirers and his wife at the time, his friends, who came together in this country to try to help save Soviet Jews like Natan Sharansky. And they did so with a campaign that was built around, initially at least, putting up simply signs outside of synagogues to call attention to the plight of these Jews. Talk a little bit about the threat as you see it now from the Sharia supremacists, the way I think of it, radical Islam as you call it, from the communists in China, the gulagists in North Korea, and even the Russians as well, right, to these persecuted Christians in our time.
One of the themes in my writing, Frank, both, you know, in particularly in writing political thrillers, novels that are worst-case scenarios, again, trying to drive these ideas into the popular culture, because there's plenty of people doing it in the policy world, yourself included. But one of the central themes is to misunderstand the nature and threat of evil is to risk being blindsided by it. The United States was blindsided by Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941, because we didn't understand the threat that the Japanese, Imperial Japanese, posed. We didn't understand who they were, what they wanted, or how far they'd go to get it. We were blindsided on August 2nd, 1990, when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, though we should not have been.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everyone was. I don't remember you being, but anyway, many were. And of course, we were blindsided on 9/11. We just didn't understand, but it was understandable. And what we're looking at now is the worst era of persecution of Christians in the history of mankind.
It is saying something to describe this era. The last 100 years, we're told, more Christians have been murdered or otherwise brutally oppressed than in the entire history of Christianity since Christ walked the earth.
That's right.
And this is a
stunning. So there's no excuse to think what we're being blindsided by something. This is something that's been happening for a century, but it's easy to just get focused on your own world. You got enough troubles, and people do have a lot of troubles. So for me, as the grandson of Orthodox Jews that escaped out of the Tsarist persecution of the Jews in the 1900s, early 1900s, escaped, got to America, and like any good Jewish family, we set up shop in Brooklyn. That's what you do. So my heart goes out to persecuted Jews and all growing up, because we were. But we got to America, and this is where we found freedom. We found freedom. We found political freedom. We found economic freedom. We found spiritual freedom. So this is how my father, mother, and I and my family came to faith in Jesus as Messiah. So now I'm an evangelical Jew with a dual U.S.-Israeli citizenship. I live in Israel. That means I get to vote twice. So my heart is very much with the persecution of the Jewish people worldwide, historically, but currently. And then, of course, with the Christians. And I would add into that Muslims who have been killed by ISIS and others in larger numbers than in recent years than Christians or Jews. But when I think of Christians, this is a theological issue for me in part, because Jesus told us it would happen. But just because it said it was going to happen and get worse before he comes back didn't mean we're supposed to go, oh, well, okay. No, he's told us to show compassion, to care for our brothers and sisters if they were in prison, if they were naked, if they were bleeding, if they were suffering in any way. Show them love.
And he actually said, this is your obligation.
Absolutely. These were commands.
Right.
These were commands. And we're supposed to love a neighbor. We're commanded to love our enemies. We're certainly supposed to love our brothers and sisters. And so silence is not loving. Inaction is not loving. In a sense, though, it's not witting. It's helping. It's aiding and abetting the enemy if we don't come and stand with our brothers and sisters. So I am fully with you all as you build this new campaign and get the word out. People should be just taking baby steps of action. We're not asking somebody to halo jump out of, a C-130 into enemy territory to rescue Jews. Somebody should.
Some people are. Of our coalition,
as this novel series, by the way, this new novel series with the Kremlin conspiracy, it's a former U.S. Secret Service agent who's a believer. His faith hasn't been like on a sleeve, but he's definitely a Christian. And now he's out of the Secret Service because of some sad, tragic things that happened in his family's life. But he finds himself in Moscow in the middle of a terrible crisis. And as the series is going to unfold with this character, Marcus Riker, he's got the skill set, he's got the faith, and he's going to find himself in need, needed, in a lot of different situations. This is going to allow me to take my readers into different worlds. It could be the Boko Haram world. It could be the gulags of North Korea. All kinds of situations that a thriller can keep you up all night, not asking, when is this class over, but how does this story end? That you can hook people, and I basically feel like if I can do that in fiction, keep them up to 5 or 6 in the morning where they're cursing me on Twitter or Facebook because they were just going to read one more chapter, just one more chapter, and now they've got to get up for work and they have not slept. Now I'm emotionally connecting with them with issues. It is policy, it is history, it is current, and it is future, but it's not dry. It electrifies them at multiple levels and possibly engages them to action. And that's, I'm an activist at heart. A failed political consultant, admittedly, turned political thriller writer.
You made
writer.
It just the well, same as they would knew, say in right? Brooklyn. Look, the beauty of this really is, Joel, that you have a gift for keeping people turning those pages and staying up and not only missing the sleep that they needed for work, but getting aboard a message that they need to be thinking about. And I'm so convinced, and one of the reasons we do this show is to try to help people think through what they need to know and do as informed members of the electorate. Because if the public doesn't understand what we're up against, they're not going to make informed and sensible decisions.
I agree with that. And I'm encouraged that at the moment we do have an administration that, and I would say a president and even particularly a vice president who's deeply passionate about this. I was just with him. He was speaking to a small luncheon here at NRB yesterday, and I one of the things that was touched me, and I tweeted it out, was that it's very rare that you have a president who doesn't speak to the evangelical community, but is part of us. He gets this. He got this before he went into politics, and God has raised up Mike Pence to come alongside an unlikely president.
I couldn't agree more. And one of the things that's so heartening about the present moment, as you say, with Mike Pence, the vice presidency, and the president as well, is that unlike what was the problem for the Soviet Jews at the time that this campaign's predecessor was mounted, which was that the administration, first of Richard Nixon and then of Henry Kissinger's, number two president, Gerald Ford, they didn't want any part oppressing the Soviets or the Kremlin. So we've got a presidency with whom I think we can work to try to save the persecuted Christians. And Joel, your work in this regard is incredibly important, as is that of Natan Sharansky and so many others who are coming together.
Well, he was a hero, and I loved
the persecuted Christian campaign, and we look forward to working with you.
Thank you, Frank.
We have to let you go for the time being.
Great to be with you.
Congratulations on the Kremlin conspiracy, folks. Check it out at Amazon immediately. More straight ahead.